Thanks for joining us here for a Portland Christian Center podcast. This podcast continues with part 8 of a series titled Proverbs, A Field Guide to Winning at Life, being taught by Joel Slater, Associate Pastor at the Center. Today's study comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 12. Now here's our message titled, Keep Your Eyes on the Road.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that you could be here today, and I am very excited about bringing this message to you today. I can't tell you how much, as I've been preparing, I've been seeing the truth of this message, and I think it's just exciting that when you read the Word of God, you can see how the Word of God applies to your life in a practical way. So we're just going to get started here today. Let me start with a question, and then I have a confession to make. But first, the question. What would you say if you had the chance to write a letter that could be sent back to you at age 17? You ever think about that? I know exactly what I would say. In fact, I took the time to write a letter to myself, and I'd like to read that letter to you today. And I wrote this to myself, thinking back 17, 18 years ago. What could I say to myself? And I said, Dear Joel, this is you, 17 years in the future. I wanted to let you know that your life has turned out different than you intended, but it's better than you imagined. You are actually married, and she is more than you could ever hope for. You are not in the career path you were planning for right now, but it's where you always knew you were meant for. Life is going to be good. I don't have time to give you all the advice you need to live a happy life, so just this one piece, because it applies to you much sooner than you think. Keep your eye on the road and watch out for the dog. That piece of advice was very, very poignant. And I wish I had had it 17 years ago, because about that time, I had gotten my first real college summer job, and it was a great job. I had plenty of hours. I wasn't locked into one location. I was going to be all over the Pacific Northwest, driving around, some overnight trips, a lot of travel, a lot of great scenery, a lot of variety in my job, and I just thought it was great. And one morning I got up and it was a beautiful day and I jumped in the truck and I headed up I-205 north, heading towards the Portland metro area. And I just didn't have a care in the world, didn't have any thoughts of problems or trouble. It was just going to be another great day, routine, but I was looking forward to it. And as I got up I-205 north, just coming over a hill, I noticed some traffic, but I didn't think much of it at the time. And as I kept going, I just thought the traffic would clear up and it would speed up. And to my surprise, it didn't. And then I saw something that I hadn't expected. I saw a dog running out all over the freeway, over three lanes of traffic during rush hour. But again, I didn't slow down. I didn't think much of it. I thought it would take care of itself. The dog would get out of the way, and we would just go on our merry way. But then it was too late, and I proceeded to create the biggest accident in the company's history. All because I didn't keep my eye on the road, and I didn't think ahead to what was going to happen. And by the way, the dog is fine. So in case you're worried about that, no, the dog made it. He sat there on the side of the road, wagging his tail and smiling at me while I dealt with the accident. But I wish I had known what was going to happen. I wish I had taken some evasive action. And wouldn't life be easier the second time around if we had an opportunity to learn from our first time around? And that's what's great about going through the series on Proverbs. God knew that we wouldn't have the frame of reference for making life-impacting decisions on our own. And so we've called this series on Proverbs a field guide for winning at life. And when you read a field guide, you want to read something from someone who knows how to win at life. You don't want to read a bunch of theories. You want to read a practical manual for how to deal with circumstances and situations from people who have dealt with those things and know the right answers. Well, that's what Proverbs is. And Proverbs teaches us that life is not just a random series of events or a random series of decisions, but it teaches us that every decision is a step in a specific direction. Every step is a step down a path, and every path has an ultimate destination. So what I want to talk to you about is the rule of the road. And the rule of the road is this: choosing specific paths with specific destinations in mind. And here's what I wish I could tell myself if given the chance. And this is my main point. If you don't remember anything else today, I want you to remember this, that your intentions don't determine your destination. It's your direction that determines destination. And the book of Proverbs gives us a verse that, when applied, will empower you, will empower your family to avoid countless complications, the unnecessary kind. Proverbs 27:12 is our scripture today, and it says this: "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it." Now let's unpack this verse today. I want us to notice a few things. Number one, in this verse, there are two kinds of people: the prudent and the simple. Another way of saying prudent would be wise, but don't confuse the word simple with stupidity. There are a lot of very, very smart people that continue to prove themselves simple. And this word is actually correctly translated as naive. So we have the prudent and the simple, the wise and the naive. Another thing to notice in this verse is that both these kinds of people, they both see danger. They both see it. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going. So they see it, but they keep going. So both see the danger, but they react differently. And that leads us to our third characteristic, is that they experience different outcomes. Not based on luck, not based on frame of reference, not based on wisdom, not based on, you know, luck, anything like that. They experience different outcomes based on their response. The idea of making life decisions should put a little fear, in fact, a little hesitancy in our hearts. After all, specific steps lead on specific paths to specific destinations. So our decisions determine our ultimate destination. However, not too many people are paralyzed by indecision. Not too many people tell themselves or tell other people, "I waited too long to make that decision. I waited too long to act. I waited too long to get into that circumstance." It's usually just the opposite. A lot of suffering is a result of our tendency to charge down the path of least resistance, being oblivious to the obvious. Proverbs 16, verse 2, the Message version says, "Humans are satisfied with whatever looks good. God probes for what is good." Too many people are finding themselves down a pathway they desperately wish they could backtrack from. The two areas of this circumstance, or this example, is that this is most related to the area of our relationships and our finances. Marriages are a wreck. And they're a wreck because the truth is, you don't evaluate a relationship on where it is, but where it's going. I heard a couple the other day saying, one spouse says to the other, "Honey, I really think that we should work on our relationship. I think we should go talk to somebody. I think we need to get some counsel." And the other spouse looked at their spouse and said, "I don't know what you're talking about. We haven't had a fight in 2 days. That's when the first spouse looked at the other and said, "The reason we haven't had a fight is because you've been gone the entire time." You don't evaluate a relationship on where it is, but where it's going. You look to the future, look down the road, you see danger, and you take evasive action. But also, in our finances, many people's finances are a wreck. Because the truth is, the borrower is slave to the lender. But instead of waiting for something we want, instead of saving for what we want, instead of making a practical plan for paying for what we want, we look to easy financing, we look to get-rich-quick schemes, things that make us not wait, but allow us to go forward faster, and we get ourselves in trouble. And when you listen to these stories, maybe you're a little like me. You're just dying to ask, "Didn't you see this coming?" And I'd venture to say that 9 times out of 10, there were red flags when making that decision. There were warning signs before you made the decision. And the reality is, these people that find themselves in these circumstances, they took their eye off the road. But they figured everything would somehow work out. And the truth is, everything does work out. Every decision has an outcome, and every path has an ultimate destination. And now life is complicated, unnecessarily complicated. It's unnecessary because the warning signs were there if we had just kept our eyes on the road. Proverbs 27:12, "The prudent see danger and they take refuge." What's a prudent person? The original word is actually shrewd or sensible, someone that takes into account all the variables and connects the dots, and they make good sense. Prudent people see life as connected. Prudent people understand the law of cause and effect and how it applies to their choices today and their experiences tomorrow. Prudent people anticipate the future and they choose accordingly. The primary difference between the prudent and the simple is not what they see, but how they respond to what they see. Again, direction, not intentions, determine your destination. Going on in verse 12, the prudent see danger, and what does it say? They take refuge. In other words, they hide themselves, they conceal themselves, they carefully choose a place of safety. When the prudent see danger, they change course. The prudent identify behaviors that are turning into habits. And instead of just throwing up their hands and saying, that's just what it is, they do something while they can. The prudent know that if you ignore something long enough, you will wake up with very poor options. Again, thinking back to that, how it relates to relationships and finances. Ignore a relationship long enough, allow for the status quo long enough, and eventually you will end up with very poor choices. Ignore the condition of your finances. Avoid your choices. Stop making decisions. Hide from making hard decisions, and you will not like your choices. Case in point, Proverbs goes on. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going. What is the simple? Again, we call it at the beginning. It's being naive or easily enticed. The naive are easily deceived. Simple people live life as if everything is disconnected. Now, I want you to notice something that I said. They live life, not believe. Simple people, easily deceived people, may very well believe that life is connected. There may be very many people listening to this, nodding their head, saying, yes, I believe life is connected. But you can tell a simple person because their actions prove otherwise. They don't live according to the rule of the road. They don't live according to the principle that direction, not intentions, determine destination. They may believe it, but they don't live it. When they see danger, they don't take evasive action. What do? They just keep going. That word is a phrase that actually means to pass over, to go over, as in go over a cliff. And the only illustration I can think of is back to the days of cartoons with Wile E. Coyote chasing after the Roadrunner. And many of you may know that illustration. The Roadrunner sees a cliff and stops, comes to a skidding stop, changes direction. But the coyote, in his monomaniacal, ambitious, self-determined interest to achieve what he wants, sees the cliff but cannot stop, keeps going until he is hanging out in midair and only then realizes the danger he's in, and by then, it's too late. Now, before you can say, who could be so naive? Who would do something like that? That's ridiculous. We all need to come to grips with the fact that we've all been naive. Every time we eat something that we regret later on, every time we talk ourselves out of exercising or developing a healthier habit, every time we light up a cigarette, every time we lie to our spouse or a parent or our boss, every time we spend money we don't have, we live, we act as if today's decisions have no way with connecting with tomorrow's outcome. But it does. It does connect, and in oftentimes so undesirable ways. And Proverbs warns us, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going, and they suffer for it. They suffer. In other words, they're fined. You know what it's like to be fined for an infraction, don't you? The simple are punished. The simple are condemned. They're locked into something. To be condemned is to be sentenced to a consequence. To be locked in. What do they suffer for? Well, they suffer for being oblivious to the obvious. The simple suffer for refusing to act on what they see. They see the danger, but they just keep going. They overlook the fact that every road has a destination. The simple don't see a disconnect between where they want to be and the path they've taken. Proverbs 9:6 says, "Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding." Decisions have consequences. The simple are condemned to facing the consequences of their actions. Again, direction, not your intentions, will determine your destination. Unfortunately, for some behaviors, there is a point of no return. You will be condemned for the consequences of your actions. Oftentimes, when it dawns on us that the undesirable outcome of our choices is bearing down on us, that's when we move into victim mode. We start talking about forgiveness, as if forgiveness is some kind of escape hatch from the outcome of bad decisions. We quickly remind others that no one is perfect. If all else fails, we play the fairness card. We say, it's not fair that this happened to me. When we're the ones that are facing the inevitable consequences of our decisions, it really doesn't seem fair, does it? You didn't mean for this to happen. You didn't intend for this to happen. But again, it's not our intentions, but our direction that determines our destination. However, let's look on the flip side. Isn't it true that when someone else arrives at the destination that their selected path led them to, don't we all think sometimes, what did they expect? And I'll tell you what they expected. They expected to be the exception to the rule. When the inevitable becomes the obvious, it's not unusual to start pointing fingers. And we have to be careful. We usually end up blaming who? We blame God. Blame God? Why? Blame the same God who inspired a king and other writers thousands of years ago to write down this warning and others like it in the book of Proverbs? Blame the same God who preserved these warnings for us over the course of history? And if you know history, you know that time and time again, kings and rulers and despots and civilizations have tried to wipe out the Word of God, have tried to eliminate the Word of God, have tried to censor the Word of God to prevent it from getting into the hands of the people. And somehow, some way, God has prevented the elimination of the Bible and has protected it and enabled it to get into the hands of everyday people so that we could have these warnings and prevent us from facing the consequences of easily avoidable decisions. The same God who wrote a letter to each of us, the Bible, who gave it to us as a field guide for winning at life, why are we blaming God? Psalm 119:105, the Message version says, "By your words I can see where I am going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path." And yet still we ask sometimes, how could God let this happen to me? I'm a good person. I've gone to church. I prayed. I mean, where is the love? I'll tell you where the love is. Ultimately, the love is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, he died for us. He made a way out. He made a way where there was no way. You may ask where the love is. The love is reflected in the warning. You warn people you love. God has been warning us throughout the scriptures that it's not intentions, but your direction that will determine your destination. Ecclesiastes 4:13 says, "Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to heed a warning." You may ask where the love is, and there it is. It's in the warning. But you may ask, well, where's the forgiveness? But I have to say today that experiencing the outcome of our decisions has nothing to do with forgiveness. There is always forgiveness. God will always forgive, will always love, will always give you a second chance. However, forgiveness and consequences are two different things, and here's why. God often works through principles. The principle, the rule of the road. Principles make life predictable. Without principles, life would be completely random. Principles enable us to plan ahead. Principles, like the rule of the road, enable us to see danger. The Word of God, again, "By your words I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I can see where I'm going." It enables us to change course. So we like principles. Principles help us. Principles like direction, not intention, determine your destination. That's a solid principle. And this principle is universal. It's no respecter of men. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, young or old, famous or unknown. Nobody is immune from this principle. And in some ways, it levels the playing field. Now, I know we could all think of exceptions to this rule. You all know somebody who has smoked or drank or had some unhealthy habit for 40 years, and they haven't gotten sick, they haven't gotten cancer. But I'm not telling my son that that habit, that way of thinking, that way of living is the way to being a healthy adult. I'm sure there's people who haven't who haven't saved, or they ignore every sound financial principle. They just get their money and they spend their money, but somehow they still end up being set for life. Maybe they played the lottery and they just struck it rich. But I don't consider their approach sound financial planning. And we all know someone who sleeps around, who engages in promiscuity, and they never get a disease, they never get pregnant, they don't even feel bad about it. But I'll tell you today, I'm not telling my two daughters that that is the way to a long and happy life. Why do you think the exceptions to the rule get all the press? Because they are the exceptions. Now, if you want to shoot for an exception, that's your choice. Go ahead. But don't be surprised at the odds that you'll run smack into a principle. Beating the odds in one area of life is no guarantee about beating the odds in any other area of life. So what do we do? How do we transition from being simple to being prudent? Well, I want to give you two things to do. And by doing these two things, you'll experience two emotions. So I want you to look at this with me today. Here's what you do. You want to turn from being simple to prudent, from being naive and easily deceived to being wise. Here's what you need to do. Number one, you have to take action. You have to do something. Because it's what you do that matters. Not just what you see and not just what you believe. It's what you do. Seeing it, feeling bad about it, agreeing with it is not enough. You may have to make a phone call. You may have to have an awkward but honest conversation with someone. You may have to cut up the credit cards. You may have to change your phone number. You may have to break up with that individual. You may have to move out. You may have to find a new circle of friends. You may have to cut back on your traveling. You may have to set the alarm clock for Sunday mornings. And I'll just take an aside here and remind you that we're moving to two services, September 11th, 9 o'clock and 10:45. Don't want to miss church? You're going to have to set your alarm. You may have to empty the liquor cabinet. You may have to join a 12-step or support group. And again, another aside, if you're suffering from the loss of a loved one or you're suffering from divorce or recovery, you may have to take action and actually sign up for our divorce care or our grief share support groups. You have to take action. You can't live the way you've been living and hope for a different outcome. You have to take action. You may have to take time and take your family on vacation. You may have to make an appointment with that counselor. You may have to sell the house. You may have to cancel your internet service. You may have to change jobs. You may have to sell the TV. You may have to do all the things that I just listed above. You have to take action. You have to do something. The prudent see danger, and they take refuge. Now, you may have to sacrifice. That's the second thing you may have to do. Not only may you have to take action, but you may have to sacrifice. You may have to give something up. And that's why our country is in the shape it's in, because we're not good at giving things up. We're not good at saying no. We actually go in the opposite of this direction. Rather than saying no to things, we say yes to more things. Rather than cutting things out, we add things. And that's why I believe we're in the condition of our country today. You may have to sacrifice something relationally. You may have to choose to be alone for a while rather than being with someone. You may have to sacrifice your reputation. Everybody thought you had it together. Everyone thought you had it all under control. Everyone thought you were the pillar of the community. And you may have to sacrifice your reputation in order to change direction. You may have to sacrifice money. You may have to learn to live within your income or learn to live with less than you're used to. You may have to sacrifice your lifestyle. Not eating out, not going places, not going to the places you are used to going where everyone else goes. You may have to sacrifice that. You may have to sacrifice friendships. Again, you may have to sacrifice the promise of or the current romance you're in. Now, does that sound extreme? Maybe so. But I'll say that there are a lot of people who would give anything to rewind their lives and would do any number of the things that I just listed in order to avoid the circumstances and the situations that they're in right now. There are all kinds of action steps that feel extreme now, that feel like a huge sacrifice now, but will look like common sense in the future when you're looking back at the sacrifices you're choosing to make. What feels like a sacrifice now will feel like an investment later on, but you have to take action, and you may have to be willing to make a sacrifice. Now, once you act, and once you choose to make that sacrifice, and you actually do it, you can expect two things, and I want to be very clear and upfront with you on this. Number one, you're going to feel embarrassment. To the simple, all around you, you're going to appear like you're overreacting. people will look at you and say, you know what, it's not that extreme. It's not that necessary. It's not that important that you make such a sacrifice. In the area of finances, Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University, says if you are buried in debt, if there is no way out, you sell everything you own to the point that your kids think that they are next. And many people think that's extreme. You don't have to do that. But I'll tell you, the prudent see danger and they take refuge. But the simple just keep on going. If you don't like your current situation, if you see the direction that your current pathway is taking you, you have to change direction. And that may mean acting and sacrificing. And it may feel embarrassing. And other people who are living the simple life, the naive life, thinking that everything will just work out, to them, you'll appear foolish and even fearful. But the prudent don't react to what they see in their current situation. Again, the prudent see life as connected. The prudent keep their eyes on the road. The prudent respond to what they see on the horizon. Acting prudently often appears to others as unnecessary caution. And the prudent looks silly now because the prudent are taking steps to avoiding something later. To the prudent, to the wise, later is now. For those who won't or don't want to understand, who want to live naively, to admit that the decisions being made now make sense is to admit that they've taken the wrong path themselves. So you will feel embarrassment when you take action. But I want to encourage you today that even though you'll feel a little bit of embarrassment, I want to encourage you today that ultimately you will feel relief. The prudent take refuge and eventually they breathe a sigh of relief. Because the day is coming when you'll look back and think, what if I hadn't acted wisely? What if I had chosen the easy path? What if I hadn't made that hard, embarrassing, sacrificial decision? Where would I end up today? Because you took refuge, you'll breathe a sigh of relief. The prudent don't take their cue from everyone else. You keep your eyes on the road, you see trouble, you respond appropriately, you'll feel relief. Or it's much easier to just keep going and one day suffer harm. It's direction, not intention, that determines your destination. Keep your eye on the road and you will make it safely to where you want to go. Now, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've arrived at a destination that you never intended, and you've wondered why you are here. You didn't intend to go here, but the direction you chose and the road you took brought you here just as much as getting on I-5 North in Portland and continuing to head north will never take you to Los Angeles. Specific paths lead to specific destinations. You never intended to arrive, quote unquote, here. But here you are because the direction you chose and the road you took brought you here. And you don't like it. So what do? Again, you have to take action. And I would ask anyone listening today, anyone that is here today, how many here would raise your hand, would admit to yourself that you're on a path towards danger? You see where your choices are taking you. You see the steps that you're taking and where it ultimately is leading. And how many here listening to this would recognize that you need to change the direction? What do? Well, you have to do something. You can't just sit here and nod. You can't just agree. You can't just write this down and file it away. You have to do something. You may need to move out of your seat. You may need to move out of your circumstance or situation. You may have to move out of your comfort zone. You have to confide in God and admit that you've taken the wrong path. You may have to sacrifice your pride, sacrifice your reputation, sacrifice your independence, and push your way past embarrassment. Slam on the brakes before you drive yourself over a cliff. You're going to have to choose relief over regret today in order to change the direction of your life. And there are many here today that are listening to this, and you would admit to say that you're struggling with sticking with the right path. There are many here today that say, you know, you've been choosing the right path. You've been choosing financial discipline, denying maybe some great things in order to change the direction of your life today. Some of you have been denying yourself relationships, because you know that the current circle of friends that you've been living with or engaging with will not take you down a healthy path. And the options are not wide for you today, but you've been making the hard decisions. You've been thinking of all the other people you know that are having a much easier time just going with the flow. And that's tough because you know you're making the right decisions now. But it's hard because decisions are made now. The results come later, and sometimes a lot later. And it feels like sacrifice. But I want to encourage you today, let the Holy Spirit confirm in your heart the truth of God's word. The prudent see danger, and they take refuge. You see the danger, and you are finding refuge. And there is no greater refuge than in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. You are seeking and hiding yourself in God's word and in Christ. And you are on the right track. And I want to encourage you today, do not give up. Hide yourself in the Lord. We may not always see a clear path. The word doesn't always give us the long-term plan. But the word does shine a beam of light on our path and gives us the next step and encourages that we're not lost. We just don't know the ultimate destination. But we know with God it will be good. We may not always have a clear destination. But when we're given an early warning sign, that's our cue. That is God's love. That is God's warning to take action. Life is too short. The seasons of life pass quickly. And today's decisions create tomorrow's experiences. My prayer for you today is that you'll pass through these transitions with relief and not regret. You will make it if you keep living according to God's field guide for living a winning life. Can I pray with you today? And again, if you see your direction is leading you to an ultimate destination, I want to encourage you today to take action. And if you have been taking action, I want to encourage you again to stay on that path. You will make it. You'll make it if you keep living according to God's field guide, the Word of God today. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. I want to encourage you today, be prudent, take action, and pray this prayer with me today. Lord, I thank you. I thank you today that you have been speaking and you continue to speak through your word. I pray this scripture today, Proverbs 27:12, will come alive to us today and we would receive it as your loving warning to us. It's not too late to change direction. Lord, help us to see trouble coming long before it gets here. God, I pray that you would give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. I pray that you would give us, O Lord, the strength, Lord, to push past embarrassment. And I pray, God, that we would experience relief. And I pray for your grace and that we would experience relief sooner rather than later. But I pray that we would continue to make the right decisions, to stop from running over the cliff, to hide ourselves in the truth of the Word of God and in the presence of Jesus Christ, and that we would make the right decisions and that we would be saved from being condemned, but we would experience and enjoy relief. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for this warning in Proverbs. I pray that you would help us to live according to the principle that it's direction, not intention, that determine our destination. Help us to make the right decisions, to choose the right direction, to walk along the right path. Jesus, you said you are the way, the truth, and the life. Father, I pray that each of us would choose Jesus, choose to follow Jesus, and you would lead us according in the right direction that we will ultimately arrive at our ultimate destination, eternity with you, Jesus. I thank you again, and I pray for every person listening to this message today. I pray they would be encouraged, they would feel your love, and they would experience, Lord God, the relief of walking according to the word today. And I thank you for it, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you today. I hope this brings you encouragement. Choose the right direction. Don't stand on your intentions, and you will arrive at a great destination. God bless you today.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast, featuring part 8 of a series titled Proverbs, A Field Guide to Winning at Life. If you live in the Portland area and are looking for a place to connect or have a trip planned to the Portland, Oregon area, please join us on Sunday morning. You can find out more information about our service times and about our church right here on our website at pcctoday.com.